The readings for this morning are the same readings that are read every year in the church just for the first Sunday. A, B, and C. They're very familiar to you all, I pray. And as Elijah and I were talking after the Christmas service, he asked me, he said, "What's your sermon going to be on?" I said, "It's John chapter 1. He said, "Back to the basics." And I said, "Yes." The basics is the way that we keep our relationship with God, reminding ourselves of who we are and who He is. You see it in sports teams. They're constantly talking about the basics, whether it's blocking or tackling or boxing someone else out, dribbling, whatever the game happens to be, it's always about the basics. And when you forget the basics, you forget the purpose of the game. The purpose of the game is teamwork. Each person, each player has their own specific things they need to do. And the more they know the basics, the better the team is. Of course, the world has a little different view. This is New Year's Eve. And tonight is the big party as we watch the idol drop in New York City. And a million and a half people stand around and ooh and ah. And they're ooh and ah because the sun, the earth has made a complete revolution around the sun. Something God set into place when He said, "Let there be." We look at this time of year and we look back over last year. We look at what we accomplished and what we didn't accomplish. We look at our failures, our successes, and we make resolutions. We resolve to do better. We resolve to lose weight, to exercise more, to read our scriptures more. And honestly, we fail miserably, don't we? Of course, the gym industry enjoys it because everybody wants to get fit. And so memberships rise. They know that a period of 2 weeks will be back to normal. Yes, our resolve to be better is very fruitless. John's gospel reading today starts with the same words that we find in Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. John takes us back to the basics this morning. The beginning of our story, found in Genesis chapter 1. His purpose in doing that was to show who Jesus was. Jesus from Nazareth. He wasn't just a man that God chose to be His son. He was an apparition of a man. He was fully man and fully God. And it's hard for us to understand that. It really and truly is. If it wasn't, these readings wouldn't be placed back in the lectionary every year for this time of the year. John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You and I as humans, if we use our humanity correctly, we think and then we speak. Now I know some of you question that by other people, but anyway. So this word, Jesus, was God's thoughts put into action when he spoke. So that in the beginning, the word, when God spoke, let there be, was Jesus. Think about that just for a minute. When God spoke, it was Jesus. And there is no story in the Bible about when Jesus was created. He was with God in the beginning, before creation. And this word was God. What happens, do you think, if we put small letter A in front of God and was a God? What does that tell us about our theology about Jesus? It says that we put Jesus on a lower level. The little G God. And there are translations out there that do that. I will not point them out specifically, but you can look it up. It's very important the way words are said, the way words are read, and the way that we construct sentences, whether spoken or read. So we have a clear understanding of who Jesus is. He was with God for eternity. Before God decided, let's make something, Jesus was there. And then John goes on to say, all things were made through him, and without nothing, anything that was made. So God, John is saying, look around. Look at everything that you can see. Jesus made. From the smallest cell to the largest animal. From the sunflower to a unicorn. All these things Jesus made. John wants you to think of it like this. You drive up to Sam's Club or Costco or whatever, and you see this huge building. And John said, Jesus made all this. And then John invites you inside in your mind. And he shows you all the things that are in that building, in the museum. And he said, and he made each one of these too. And you see where John is wanting you to think about Jesus now. He is removing any doubt about Jesus being the Son of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John was saying that Jesus, in Jesus is life. Life of God. Not the life that a lot of people, you and I included, like to live. This life is eternal. This life is life-giving. And it's a light. A light unto the world. Did you ever consider yourself a light unto the world? You have Jesus in you. You're not the true light. Don't get yourself confused now. You're not here. You're here. You're a reflection of the light that God shines in you, through you, to the world. When the world looks at you, it should see life and light. The light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome. This sentence is a direct look at the resurrection. The life of the world was hung on a cross and was died and was buried. If you've never been in a tomb, it's pretty dark. But the darkness did not overcome. That is our hope. That is our prayer. Is that we, by our faith in Jesus, know that darkness cannot overcome us. That we have no longer able to walk this earth. And God calls us home. And we're buried, that buried, being placed in the ground, is only temporary. We know that when Christ comes back, we will be bodily resurrected with a body that is beyond our imagination. No pain, no sorrow. Everything will be wonderful in the presence of God. It is also light and life for those who are spiritually dead. For those who are separated from God. For those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it brings light to them who read His Scripture, hear the witness that you might give, and they come to know. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. John the Forerunner, I don't like using John the Baptist, I'm sorry. John the Forerunner, Jesus' older cousin, came as the last Old Testament prophet to bring to Israel this light, this hope, to bring a baptism of repentance, of looking at yourself and saying, I know I am not right. And inviting them to come into this time of repentance. And at the same time saying, this repentance isn't all there is. There's someone coming after me who is greater than I, who will give you life and life. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came into the world as a baby in a manger. And the world wasn't expecting that, were they? The world was expecting the Messiah to come riding in on a mighty horse, changing the things that was around, running out the Romans, restoring Israel to the former glory that it had. And yet we have a baby born in a manger, away from home. And we see the child having to leave and go to Egypt because of the threats against this baby. They return and come back. And is raised as a son of a carpenter. He begins his ministry. And he's homeless. What kind of Messiah is that? Doesn't have a place to lay his head of his own. Constantly traveling, moving. People mocking him. Questioning his teaching. Questioning who he is. Questioning his parentage. You understand why the world didn't know him? The Son of God in humanity, overlooked, despised, and yet he brought life and life to the world. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's you and I. You believe in Jesus. You believe in that he was the Son of God. That he died on the cross for your sins. And that he was resurrected and ascended into heaven. You have become children of God. You have been adopted. As a baby, I was adopted. Somewhere in there between when I was born in December and Easter Sunday morning in 1956. Not sure when, but I was adopted. My father said, when the nurse brought you to us, you were so little you would fit in a shoebox. Well, I kind of outgrew the shoebox. And people have asked me over the years, aren't you interested in who your birth parents were? I said, not really. I have no desire. I said, I know who my mother and father are. And I have no desire to know who gave me life. Because my life is with Jesus. And you and I, it's hard to understand the love that your adopted parents, I don't like using that word, give you. You see, they picked you out. They chose you to show their love to someone who they didn't know, who had no connection with them. A lot of you have pets, and maybe you adopted them from the pet show. You have a small idea of what I'm talking about. But to know that out of all the babies that were in the orphanage, ever how many there was, maybe it was just me and one more. Or maybe I was the only one, I don't know. Doesn't matter. But out of all those babies, they chose you. To nurture you, to love you, to make you a part of a family. To give you a heritage. To give you a place to make mistakes. A place to grow. And mature. And that's what we see offered to us as we come into the belief of Jesus. We have been adopted as children of God. No longer children of the world or children of flesh, but children of God. And these children were not born of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, will of God. You can't become a child of God by your own will. I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to say the right things, meet with the right people, attend all the services, and I'll be a Christian. Wrong. And just because your parents and grandparents or your siblings are children of God doesn't mean that you will be. It's not inherent. It's not taught. We can't will ourselves, our self-willing to be a Christian. God has given us a path to be a child of His. And that path, the only way, is through Jesus. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Shekinah glory. The glory that Moses beheld, and it changed the radiance of his face, that he had to wear a veil. The Shekinah glory that came in on the tent of meeting when God met with Moses. The glory of God. And that same glory is shared by the Son. Full of grace and truth. Unmerited grace. The grace that we have received has nothing to do with how good we are or how much we deserve it or anything else. It's a free grace, a renewing grace. A grace that, as we ask for forgiveness, is given to us again and again and again. Verse 16, for from His fullness we all have received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law was given to Moses as a protection to his people, to show them how holy he was and how simple they were. It was a pre-shadowing, a prefiguring to Christ. They received grace from the law, but not the grace like we receive from Jesus Christ. Grace upon grace. Grace that is never ending. Grace that brings us so that we're able to go into the throne room of God and have personal time as we read the scripture and as we pray. Did you ever think that you were actually going into God's throne room and being with Him, talking to Him, listening to what He says? No one has ever seen God. The only God, who is the Father's side, He has made Him known. What we know about God comes to us completely, fully, through what Jesus said. He is the Word of God. And everything that God we know about God came from what He said in the Scriptures. We have something that Moses didn't have. We have the Old Testament prophets or kings. We have the ability to know all that God wants us to know about Him. His plan of redemption that started in Genesis chapter 3 was fulfilled with Jesus, with His death and resurrection. There is no plan B. His plan gives us knowledge of God. It gives us the ability to be with God, to have God live within us, and for us to walk with God, being a light and a life to this world. As we start a new year, a calendar year tomorrow, let us take this afternoon and in between the football game while the commercials are on, and let's see if we can take time and ask God about, Father, show us where we need to improve. Show us where we need to be more like You. Show us how we can be light and life in this world. And then ask Him, Father, I can't do this in my own way. Please let Your Holy Spirit guide me, correct me. Let me show grace upon grace. Let me show to the world who You are and what You've done. Shall we pray?